It's not a boy.
How old is
it? Are we good? Yep.
32.
32?
Oh my gosh.
We're going to see what the data is.
I'm going to call to order the City Council meeting for February 3rd, 2014. And we'll start with a moment of silence if everybody could stand. And then right after that, Jocelyn Flint's going to come up and do our flag salute. All right, Jocelyn, would you like to come forward? And I'm going to tell you a little bit about her while she's making her way up here. She's 9 years old, and Jocelyn's a fourth grade student at Grover Beach Elementary School. She likes to be able to socialize with other students. She appreciates the teachers and staff at school. And she's also appreciative of having the privilege to go to school while some kids in other countries cannot. She likes being by the ocean and having a close community, and Jocelyn would like to learn more about different cultures and their history. She thinks she would like to be a chef, and she's a little interested in becoming a doctor. Jocelyn loves to make rubber band jewelry. She loves to read action and mystery books. Jocelyn's also accompanied this evening, I believe, by her principal, James Snyder. Hi, James. Nice to meet you. Her teacher, Mrs. Vasquez, and her mom. So if you all want to come forward and take photos, feel free in front of me, and everybody else will bunch in a little bit. And then if you can turn that way, then we'll get a good photo of you.
Very photogenic.
Good, got it. Thank you. And then if you want to shake everybody's hand, and when you come back past me, I'll give you these.
Thank you very much. Awesome.
You did a very nice job. Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Cute jacket, by
yeah,
the way.
Great job.
And don't forget those two, and that's to help you with your homework.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jocelyn and family, for coming tonight. Could we have the roll call, please?
Here.
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 Here. And I believe we have a closed session announcement, City Attorney.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council Members. On Tuesday, the 21st of January, City Council met in closed session on two items. First one being existing litigation, Lopez versus City of Grover Beach. The second one being an anticipated litigation case. After reconvening back to the open session, there were no reportable actions taken in closed session. Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll do the agenda review now. That this time the City Council reviews the order of business to be conducted. We'll receive requests or make announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. And then we'll by motion adopt the agenda as presented or revised. And I haven't had any changes from anybody on staff. Anybody on the council? Okay.
None.
I'll move staff's recommendation for agenda as posted.
Second.
Moved by Mayor Pro Tem Lee and seconded by Councilmember Bright. And we have nothing on our ceremonial calendar tonight. And so now we're at the time for public communications. I see there are a few of you out there. And this is the time when any member of the public may address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes, 3 minutes total on any individual item of interest that's within the jurisdiction of the council. And we'll listen to all communications. We can't, in compliance with the Brown Act, we can't take action. So we can listen but not take action. If you're here to speak about a specific item, you'll have an opportunity to do that later. So I'll open it to public comment. Did anyone want to come forward? And I didn't introduce you, too. We have former mayor and, oh my gosh, you do so many things. DeSantos is with us tonight.
It's community service.
Community service.
And it's not because I've been in jail either. I'm stalling for time because my other partner went home to get some information I needed.
Oh.
But anyhow, it's because of the Grover Beautiful Committee and so forth, and we're trying to be more active and get ourselves in the paper in our town and so forth. So she went to go get the addresses that we're going to approve of tonight.
Okay.
And so we've had, since being out in the public and roaming around, and Bill was here when I had gone into the city manager's office and spoke about a little problem we have had up at Grover Heights, which we still have the problem. And it's not so much the problem, but it's what they do up there, riding their little rollerblades or whatever you call them. on the tennis courts, and I do have film at 11 and so forth. So, thank goodness.
And now we have Commissioner Boatman.
Yes, she's going to help me with this.
Parks and Rec Commissioner.
Yes.
Okay.
We've nominated some homes.
Yeah.
And anyway, we're not just us and the Park and Rec Commission, but there's quite a few people that are keeping an eye on our parks and so forth. So we've had comments about different things they would like to see. And, of course, we are going to have a joint meeting with your council people and ourselves. And we're really looking forward to that and have a lot of things come out. Okay. Would you like to announce those addresses?
We have three gorgeous gardens that we awarded in December. It was even in the paper. 334 North 10th Street, 191 Atlantic City, and 280 Saratoga. And they were lovely, lovely homes and gardens. We have, as a matter of fact, since we're here, we have one that we are awarding tomorrow. We have five that we will be awarding in February, and we have five that we are reviewing in February for March.
Wow.
So our town is looking good, and if you see any homes or anything, just get a hold of us or let the department know, and we'll go check them out. So we want to put a tag on our city that we're not just a city, we are the beautiful city.
Thank you, Chair Santos.
May I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
May
I? Please.
So would that call be out to anyone in our town if anyone sees a garden?
As long as you're
absolutely
in Grover City, Grover.
Beach. Grover Beach.
Grover Beach. So
City of Grover.
Grover City Beach.
Okay. So anyone who who sees a garden in Grover Beach that they think is extraordinary, they can call the Recreation Department?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And even Zero Landscape, you mm-hmm. know, we want to know about it. And a lot of this goes to our garden tour, you know, the first Sunday of June.
All right. Good job. It's a good thing you live nearby.
Thank you.
Did we have any other public comment this evening? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the council. And we have our consent agenda. So most of these are routine items, and they're scheduled for consideration as a group. However, we can pull any of them if we have questions or wanted to discuss them or have a staff report independently. Did anybody have any they wanted to pull this evening?
No questions.
No.
I had two questions, and one of them probably should be pulled. The other one, I think, is a pretty simple question. So I'd like to pull... I'd like to pull number three, the records destruction authorization with for the police department. And I had a question about on the treasurer's report. I can't remember what it was. That was item number one. I think it was just curiosity, yeah. Oh, yeah. I should have given you a heads up, Gayla, but you probably remember. On the first page down at the bottom, item 4285, Union Bank of California Corporate Trust, trustee fees. What is that about? And this is Gayla Chapman, our Administrative Services Director.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. The trustees fees are associated with our former redevelopment agency for the bonds that we have, and we have trustee fees that we must pay once a year.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's all I had on that one. And the other one I think I would like to pull because it may lead to a little discussion. So does some let's see. We probably need to do a roll call on some of these, my guess is.
Yes.
Yes.
Like
so could we have a roll call on everything except...
I'll make a motion that
we adopt the
calendar as amended.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
So we have a motion from Mayor Pro Tem Lee and a second from Council Member Bright. And this will be on items 1, 2, 4, 5, and we will do item number 3 after we do the rest of the agenda. So now could we have a roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you, Jeff, for keeping me awake here. And we're moving then to regular business. And item number six is the mid-year budget review for fiscal year 14. And again, we have Administrative Services Director Chapman. The City Council will consider the fiscal year 14 year mid-year budget review and adopt the amendment to the annual appropriation resolution number 13-4.
Most of our revenues are anticipated to be received close to budget. We're anticipating an increase overall in revenues of $44,698. The three main items which make up that amount are our property taxes current secured, which we're looking at being $63,600 higher, our plan check for building for in-house plan checks, $17,500 higher than budgeted, and our sales and use tax add-on, which is the 0.5%, is looking at about $39,000 lower than what we were anticipating. And we are also anticipating new revenue from Five Cities Fire Authority for dispatching in the Arroyo Grande area. Our revenues are anticipated to be $3,268 per month for 4 months while we have while we're starting this process. Additional revenue that we receive will help offset the staff time needed to meet the current dispatch needs. And currently, we have only estimated costs. Once the expenditures are more defined, staff will request a budget amendment as necessary. For our expenditures, we have several areas that are needing adjustment. For our legislative program, we have a budget amendment for contractual obligations for $20,000, which is for the polling for the potential street improvement bond. For human resources, we have budget amendment of advertising and notices of $5,000. We had $6,000 budgeted. To date, we've already spent $6,315. For services other, a budget amendment of $2,000, which these are background-related expenditures. And services legal of $20,000, and we have expenditures to date of over $10,000 for that line item.
Could I interrupt you for just a minute on the background? That completely confused me. Can you explain what that means?
On which one?
The background you mentioned for background related
checks for whenever we're hiring employees.
Okay,
it's for their background checks.
Thank you.
And then for street construction and repair, we have engineering cost recovery, which is a revenue offset of $8,000, and contractual obligations for the pavement management program for $30,000, which was not budgeted. Revenues and expenditures overall are expected to remain stable. Our property taxes are expected to remain flat to slightly increased. Our sales taxes are currently trending flat to slightly lower. The city has spent the last several years rebuilding reserves, which were expended on infrastructure needs. And currently, we are meeting our reserve requirement. The city's reserve policy is 10% of the operating budget, and we also have a Lopez reserve of 125% of the debt service payment we pay to the county. We do have quite a few infrastructure projects that we're looking at in the future, and that information will be forthcoming when we do a water rate increase review. Revenues from water sales are expected to increase by $114,714 from the amounts that were budgeted, and the water sales for the remainder of the year will in part be dependent on the rainfall or lack thereof. Other revenues are expected to decline by $24,668, and these are all based on the first 6 months of the fiscal year. Our budget amendment for expenditures for the water fund is needed in the following areas. The water meter replacement, $50,000. We had $50,000 budgeted. We have overspent that already to date. And our services maintenance, which is maintenance and repairs of the water lines, we are needing an additional $30,000. We received also a credit from Lake Lopez water treatment plant operations for fiscal year 13. In the amount of $39,870. The credit was applied to the bill for the Lopez Water Treatment Plant expenditures received in December. Currently, staff is working on a water rate study, and we are working on completing a major CIP review for the Water Enterprise Fund, looking out even further than the 5-year projection for our normal CIP. The CPI for year ended December
should say 31st, excuse me, there's a typo, is 1.1%, which is not a lot. It's probably the lowest CPI I've seen in the last several years. And the adjustments to the water rates of the 1.1% will occur on April 1st as provided by the March 19th, 2012 Proposition 18 hearing, 218 hearing. The wastewater enterprise is responsible for the operation and maintenance and capital improvements of the sanitary sewer lines, lift station, and storm water drains. We also collect revenues in this fund for the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. We receive the district revenues on a monthly basis, and the following month we make the payment to them. Expenditures are expected to be higher due to, and we have preparation of the annual report to the State Water Board, which was budgeted at $7,500 and is estimated to be $12,000. For our special revenue funds, our government access fund currently has no revenue. Charter Communications began paying fees to the state instead of paying them directly to cities in May of 2013. The city attorney is working on an ordinance to reinstate the fees, and we have enough reserves to cover expenditures for fiscal year 14. The special event fund received a grant again this year from the Nichols Foundation for $12,000. Revenues and expenditures are expected to be near budget, and approximately $19,000 advance payable to the general fund is still owed, and staff will address the subsidy level for the fiscal year 15 budget. And it is recommended that the council adopt the resolution amending the annual appropriation resolution to fund the budget amendments. And do you have any questions?
I want to start down with Councilmember Nichols. Do you have any questions?
Not at this time.
Mayor Pro Tem Lee?
Did have one or two questions, and my two biggest questions first had to do with the water rate increase. Mm-hmm. You'd indicated in your report that it would take place April 1st.
Correct.
Okay. In the staff report, it says that you're working on the review, and it'll be come back in a separate report.
That will be for any additional increase we may need.
Above
the 1.1%, okay. Based on what the capital improvement needs are.
Okay. Now, would that be a separate 218 vote?
It would end up being another 218 hearing if the council wishes to fund the CIP at a higher level than what we currently are.
Than the 1.1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Thank you for that. And then the second question I had is also water related. In one of the paragraphs, it says we're expected to end fiscal year 14 with approximately $830,000 in cash reserves. In the resolution, it says we're about $580,000 in cash reserves. So I was wondering, I'm sure there's a way to get to that math.
It's a way, two different ways of looking at it, and I should have put them both in the same manner. In the staff report, I looked at actual cash reserves that we have. In the budget amendment, the budget amendment always goes based on what is in the budget document. And the budget document had a lower amount of reserves starting than what we actually ended up with.
So
that's something I'm going to have to reconcile myself in, as to how to show that in the future.
Okay. So effectively, though, we would anticipate...
A quick answer, okay. Then ask him to follow up. As you may recall, we replace water meters entirely in 2006, and the warranty on those water meters, I believe, was for 5 years. They're beginning to now fail at an increasing rate, and more so than we anticipated. What we will begin doing is a phased program, so that we're not replacing them all at once, but we're going to implement a phased recycling out meter program over the next couple of years that should resolve the problem. It's probably a little more aggressive than we had hoped for, but perhaps the Public Works Director can tell you a little bit more about the situation. It's the meters and the need to replace them.
Happy to. Is that on? There we go. Greg Ray, Public Works Director, City Engineer. So throughout the year, we have been experiencing both radio failures. If you recall, we have a drive-by AMR radio reading system. And we've been also replacing water meters. And as the city manager has mentioned, you know, we're at the 5-year warranty on the majority of those that were installed in 06. So between the two of them, both ramping up at the same time, the costs have gone up considerably. We're out for an RFP right now for a manual meter reading company. We're going to abandon the AMR system as it stands. It's not working well for us. Hopefully someday go to a fixed-based system. So a large part of the cost of the replacement of the radios will go away, but the cost of replacing meters is going to continue on, and we're just projecting the rate out over the remainder of the year as it's been over the last 6 months. So looking off into the future, we're looking at trying to replace all the meters citywide and try to come up with a schedule for that that would be palatable so as not to overly impact the water fund and cause too much of a rate increase. But right now it's looking like maybe replacing them all over 8 to 10 year period in specified areas each year. We just replace it, sector out the city into little blocks of meters. So hopefully by the time we're through with that program, we'll have better meters for one thing, and then we won't have these kind of costs out in the future.
So we're going to go back to Amanda. Thanks. And actually, while you're up there, the next question I think had to do with you is the pavement management system. We're asking for $30,000 more. Is that
yes.
to augment the existing so that we can move forward to that expanded?
That's pavement? Correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
I just wanted to. Thanks. Those were my only questions.
Great. Councilmember Bright?
Yes, please. Actually, maybe you could answer this then as well. I assume that the new water meters have a warranty as well.
We're not looking at a specific meter at this time. What's interesting, though, is in talking with both water operators and directors at all the cities around us and online, talking to others about their satisfaction with their existing meters. And I'm finding the meters we have are really not performing well at all. We got about 5 years out of them. Everybody else is reporting reasonable accuracy up to 10 years. So I think we can do better. And I think I'm not looking for a specific meter in going out for a citywide replacement program, but I am looking for meters that meet specific requirements. And a fairly substantial warranty period will be one of those requirements. So
good. Okay. Thank you.
Actually, if I can jump in there for just a second, I apologize. I was interpreting Councilmember Wright's question to be, when we're replacing the meters, are we replacing them with the same kind that are in the ground now, or are we using a different?
Currently, yes. Right. Until we have an approved budget, which really would require a Prop 218 hearing for a full meter replacement program, at least short term, we'll continue replacing with what we have. I think as soon as I have some sense of where that's going to go, we'll be looking even midterm, if that makes any sense. You know, not a long-term program, but maybe just after the next couple months, trying to get a proposal from a number of different meter companies to give us a good price on what I think would be a better meter.
And apologize for jumping in here still. As soon as you put a new meter in the ground, does that start another 5-year warranty cycle?
It would on the existing meter brand that we have now, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I've got one while we're – do you mind? We'll,
no,
we'll just
right
keep
ahead.
You here while – and we'll, if you have a Greg question, this is the Greg question time. The wastewater enterprise, I know originally we were talking about our unfunded mandate from the state that we thought it would cost about $100,000. I'm adding numbers up. It's actually more like $117,000 to – comply with what they want, and then if we don't, it's another $30,000 plus. So it's costing us a little
more challenging, I think, to get approval than I expected. So we're close to the budget we estimated, but we didn't know a lot when we did that estimate. So now we unfortunately know a lot more, and it is more expensive.
Thank you. And while you're here, this is quiz time. This is your favorite one. We were mentioning CIPs and CPIs. What are CIPs and CPIs for people out there who don't read these all the time?
The CPI is the Consumer Price Index, and we use Los Angeles, Riverside County. It's the standard we've used for 10 plus years. And CIP is Capital Improvement Plan.
Thank you. Saved by Gala. Thank you very much. Any other questions for the Public Works Director? No? Okay.
I'll be here in case you do.
Thanks. So, Councilmember Bright, do you have more questions?
Just one. Thank you, I think. And I guess this is probably going to be for our city attorney. When do you expect that that ordinance is going to be ready?
It's drafted. It's staff is reviewing it. We would like probably to bring it to you second meeting in March, perhaps.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Swell.
Can I follow up on that? Why did Charter start paying the state instead of paying us?
New law was passed, which allowed them to, at the termination of our franchise agreement, to switch to the state. And we're still being paid our franchise fees or equivalent of the franchise fees, but there was an issue with regard to the PEG fees, the governmental access fees, and rather than fighting the legal battles, we're going to rewrite the ordinance and see if we can do it that way.
Is that another argument for a charter? Would that have made a difference? No?
Okay. No, that would not have made a difference.
Madam Mayor, yes. Just to follow up with that, what happened is essentially the city used to have the ability to levy franchise agreements or franchise imposed franchise agreements. That's been removed by this new state law the city attorney references. All of the actual franchise agreements, if you all are permitting, is now through the state of California Public Utilities Commission. And they kind of control franchise fees, et cetera. This area is an area that's very important to the city. And that's...
We've been stuck in their legal department.
Did they call you?
No. I was just going to say, do we run the risk of having Charter Communications have this stuck in their legal department?
No. This will actually have really nothing to do with Charter Communications. Okay. This document will be internal. As soon as we can arrive at a satisfactory draft, we'll do the public hearing noticing and bring it before you for your consideration and action.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Any others? I've got a couple. I noticed that the Tiny Tots class fees were down. Do they cover their costs? Is that pretty
they
much
do,
break even?
They do cover their costs.
So it's, in a sense, it's like an enterprise fund. It's part of the general fund, but they...
With staff costs and the costs for the instructors, it basically just covers their costs.
Okay. Thank you. And... So I know at our last meeting we voted to spend $30,000 on pavement management to augment that, and we voted to spend another $20,000 to do a poll on that was on streets too, wasn't it? Yeah. And so that was $50,000, and we're currently short about $80,000. Is that right? How much are we short right now?
For
We were going to have to take some from the amount we were going to give to reserves to get this budget balanced. Am I wrong about that?
Gayla, I think if you could just give the total of the total amount of the adjustments from the that we're seeking
that's
from
what
the
I'm
general
looking for.
Fund.
Thank you.
Yeah, from the general fund we're seeking $85,000. We're anticipating an additional $44,698 in revenues. So at the budget document when it was adopted, we were looking at adding to reserves of $54,584. With these budget amendments, we're looking at adding only $14,282. So we had additional $44,000 in revenue, but $85,000 in expenditures for a negative $40,000 in addition. So we're only going to add approximately just under $15,000.
And the council threw a bit of a curveball at the last meeting because we threw in an additional $50,000. So had we not done that, we would have been
at about $64,000.
Yeah. Okay. All righty. Thank you. And so we're not taking it from reserves.
No.
We're just putting less in this year.
Correct.
To make it balance. Okay. I think that was all I had. Let me just double check here. One more. That was it? Yes. So it looks like we need...
On page 7, it appeared to be some discussion that needed to occur under special revenue funds. Mm-hmm. And that was the government access fund and the special fund event fund. Was there anything?
The government access fund is the one that...
The charter.
Okay. As far as the special event fund, I think that discussion will take place...
With the budget, yes.
Okay. So we're good?
We're good.
Okay. In that case, I'll make a motion for staff's recommendation.
I'll second it.
So we have a motion by Councilmember Lee and a second, Councilmember Marshall and a second by Mayor Pro Tem Lee. And I expect this is probably a roll call.
Mm-hmm.
So could we have the roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So that was unanimous. And now we are moving to the Grover Beach City Council in its capacity as a successor agency to no regular business. You know what? I don't have my glasses on tonight. Number seven, proposed amendment between the City of Grover Beach and the City of Arroyo Grande for dispatching services. Police Chief Copsy, Assistant City Manager. I thought I could do it on 3 hours of sleep. The City Council will consider entering into an agreement with the City of Arroyo Grande for provision of fire dispatch services.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, members of the Council. As you know, in 2010, a fire authority was created from the cities of Grover Beach, Oceano, and City of Arroyo Grande. However, dispatch services at that time were not. Arroyo Grande has been providing dispatch services for the fire area in Arroyo Grande, and Grover Beach has been providing fire service dispatch services in Grover Beach as well as Oceano. The Arroyo Grande Police Department will be remodeling their police department starting this month, and they will be moving. They have moved their dispatch operations to the County of San Luis Obispo area up on Kansas Street, and will be operating their dispatch services from there. However, they will not be, because of that, they will not be able to provide fire dispatch services to the fire areas within the City of Arroyo Grande. We were notified of that issue about 2 weeks or so ago, and so the fire chief came to me, and we've been diligently working on a plan so that we could provide those services. During this interim period, chief's like that, so we know exactly where everything's going, and we're ready. Currently, the Oceano Community Service District is paying $25.13 per call for service, and have been for a while. It fluctuates based on how many calls they have, in order for us to provide them the fire dispatch services. So in order for us to provide the necessary service to the City of Arroyo Grande, staff is recommending to enter into an agreement with the City of Arroyo Grande to provide those services at the same cost rate that is currently being charged to the Oceano Service District. The average number of calls for service over the past 2 years, we looked at both years, for the Arroyo Grande fire area was about 1,561. The cost for those services to Arroyo Grande using the $25.13 per call for service would be about $3,268 per month. The city has presented the draft agreement that you have before you to the City of Arroyo Grande, and they have been authorized by the council to enter into this agreement. There will be an ongoing review of the services, and the agreement will only be amended from here on out by mutual agreement with the City of Arroyo Grande as needed, depending on what those needs are, as long as the dispatch services apply within the City of Arroyo Grande. As part of the review of the services, we will also be working with the fire authority. We will be evaluating the ongoing costs, the staffing needs that are appropriate for the extra call loads, and any specific needs by the Five Cities Fire Authority. We want to make sure that we provide the most appropriate service not only to them, but to the entire communities that we serve. And then we'll be looking at the duration of the agreement, however long that might take for their remodel, or hopefully if we can continue these services from here on out. And as always, we look forward to the ongoing relationships and the working relationships we've had with the Fire Cities Fire Authority. As mentioned, the city expects to receive a little over $3,000 a month during this agreement. The additional revenue will help offset the impacts to the City of Grover Beach, our dispatch center, the staffing, initial staff needs that we might need, and anything else that we have that might come up. We think that'll cover it. There's a couple alternatives. One is to adopt our recommendations, which I'll mention in a minute. Another alternative, obviously, is not to provide dispatch services to the City of Rio Grande area and provide direction to staff. Staff is recommending that the City Council adopt the attached resolution authorizing the City Manager to enter into an agreement with the City of Rio Grande.
Talk to both the Chief and City Manager with reference to this program. I think they've done an excellent job in a short period of time. My congratulations to you.
Couldn't do it without good staff. Commander Peters did most of the work.
He always does good stuff. Yeah. And question?
Actually, I just have a logistical question. How is it going to work for our friends to in the Rio Grande as they, if they call 911, is it going to get directly routed to us somehow, or is it going to go through through them in out of Kansas Avenue and then over to us? I mean,
yes.
Obviously it's going to get to us somehow, but so
yes.
they don't have to change their.
So the way it really should work and is hopefully the citizens will know the difference. There might be a small step, well, not might, there will be a small extra step. What happens if somebody from Rio Grande calls 911, just like somebody in Oceano currently does, if they call 911 for a fire issue, goes, all of the 911 calls, if you're not aware, go to the county hub. Mm-hmm. Ours, everything. And it's just the way AT&T works. And from there, it's routed to the appropriate location. So if somebody from Rio Grande calls 911, it goes to the county dispatch initially because that's where their hub is. They can't separate the police and fire 911 calls until they pick up the phone and say, what's your emergency at the fire? As soon as they know it's a fire emergency or medical aid, I mean a fire emergency, automatically they will route that 911 call to our dispatch center here. And so there might be a five-second delay if that, depending on how long it takes to say yes it is and then send it here. We still get the credit for the 911 calls. We still get state money for that. So that part is very simple. We've been doing it that way since 1993 from the City of Oceano, and it works. There's no delays really or anything. If it's a medical call, then they will bill the call at the county because the county actually dispatches medical aid services to the ambulance. So they will bill the call. And then they will transfer that call through, you know, they just push a little button, and it comes right to our dispatch center and populates our dispatch screen, and our dispatchers see, oh, there's a medical call, they dispatch our fire. So it's no delay really there because it's just a different person building the call for service, whether our dispatcher says, hello, what do you need, or their dispatcher says, hello, we need. It's still built, and there's really no delay. So it works very well. And we do that currently with medical aid. We take a call, we do medical, we build the call and send it to them. So it's, you know, transfers back and forth.
Said about these gentlemen and the dispatchers putting this together, City Manager. I'm very grateful because we could be in a very tough spot if it wasn't for their work. Excuse me. We've always had a really positive working relationship with Grove Beach Dispatch personnel and also Grove Beach Police Department, and I appreciate everything they've done. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we've all been looking at this for so many years. I think we're pretty familiar with it, and I know it's something that you all have been looking for a long time, so let's hope it, long may it continue. Let's see how it goes. All right. Then do we need to do... We do need to do something here, too. We probably need a motion, don't we?
We need a resolution, for sure.
Yep.
I would like to make a motion. I recommend that, and I would also like to say that in reference to Mayor's comments, I concur with you, and I did want to make that comment, that I think this is an excellent opportunity for us to provide that particular type of service, and hopefully it will lead to... more consolidation. As you know, we talked about consolidation of police and fire services some time ago, and hopefully this gives us a foot in the door, and I think the chief is going to do an excellent job in the dispatching, and hopefully Rio Grande will recognize the benefits to that, and we can continue to work to consolidate both the police and fire dispatch. I hope that's what happens. That's what we're looking for. So with that, let me recommend that we adopt the resolution authorizing the City Manager to enter into an agreement with the City of Rio Grande for the Fire Rescue and Emergency Medical Aid Dispatch Services.
I'll second that.
So we have a motion by Councilmember Nichols and a second by Councilmember Bright. Can we have roll call, please?
Yes.
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 Yes, we've got it unanimous. Now we're moving to agenda item 8, and that's the Grover Beach City Council in its capacity as the successor agency to the dissolved Grover Beach Improvement Agency, and we're looking to adopt recognized obligation payment schedule, otherwise known as ROPS, for July 1st, 2014 to December 31st, 2014. Administrative Services Director Chapman will present this one to us.
Honorable Mayor and City Council, tonight we have before you deadline established pursuant to AB 1484 to submit the July 1st to December 31st ROPS to the County Auditor Controller and the State Department of Finance is March 3rd, 2014. The ROPS format is similar to that of previous years with the exception of the cash balancing page, which allows for an agency to keep funds in reserve for the next bond payment. On Friday, January 31st, staff received an email regarding of how outstanding loan balances are to be paid, and per the email, the Health and Safety Code Section 34191.4B2B requires that outstanding amounts borrowed from or owed to the low and moderate income housing fund for purposes of the Supplemental Education Revenue Augmentation Fund, otherwise known as CRAF, to be retired prior to requesting repayments for RDA sponsoring entity loans, meaning the CRAF payment needs to be paid before we pay ourselves back. Mm-hmm. The repayments related to the CRAF are subject to the same formula restrictions as the RDA sponsoring entity loans, and the maximum repayment amount authorized each fiscal year shall be equal to one-half of the increase between the amount distributed to the taxing entities in that fiscal year and the amount distributed to taxing entities in the base year. The staff will be adding a note to our loans that indicates that the repayment amount each year will be equal to the maximum amount allowed for each loan, and that is pursuant to the email that we received on Friday. So that note will be added to the document that you have. And also this afternoon, the County Auditor Controller and I worked out what the figures are so that we can put the exact CRAF dollar amount in, which that amount for the first 6 months is going to be $121,284.75. It's roughly a little over half of what the CRAF payment is. So the remainder of the CRAF payment would go with the 1415B, and we'd have approximately $7,500 that we could use towards repayment on city loans and begin to repay city loans at that time. So staff is recommending that the City Council, sitting as the successor agency, adopt the resolution approving the recognized obligation payment schedule and authorize the City Manager to present the ROPS to the Oversight Board for its consideration and approval.
Thank you. So for me, when I look at this, my eyes kind of glaze over. It's a lot of terms. And so let me
our outstanding that we need to make the payments on. And we also have loans that the city made to the former redevelopment agency for redevelopment projects. And those are the loans that will be able to be repaid once the CRAF payment is made.
And so for a while those were in question. We weren't sure the city was going to be repaid. There was a little bit of worry about that.
Right. The city's received a finding of completion.
Okay.
And that was one of the keys to being able to get the loans repaid. The successor agency oversight board has also designated that the loans were for legitimate redevelopment purposes. The resolution has been sent to the Department of Finance. And according to the rules that are written in the RDA legislation, we should be able to start receiving payments with the ROPS following this one.
Great. Okay. So all is well it's not as well as we would have liked it to be, but at least we're not losing funds that we loaned to the agency.
I was very happy to hear that we have a low base year for our base year, because that's what everything is based on, is the first year of actually paying the having the county disseminate all of the RDA payments to the taxing entities, and our base year was relatively low, so that's going to help us pay the CRAF loan off fairly quickly and be able to start repaying the city loans.
Okay, good. So I kind of interjected there, but I wanted to make sure that it was clear. Questions on that?
None.
I just have one question. You mentioned some communications with the, I think it was you said, the county clerk this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Does that change the ROPS?
It's going to change based on the number. Instead of 227,568, which I thought we would be able to ask for the entire CRAF, not realizing that it was under the same formula as the city loans. And we would have had enough money to end up paying the CRAF off if it was not under the formula for the city loans. So the numbers will change based on that number.
Okay. I don't see that number here anywhere, though.
It's on the second page of the ledger size sheets that you have. There is, under the RPTTF, there is a $227,568 number. That number is going to change to $121,284.75. And then that number will roll forward to the amount that we will actually receive in the six-month total on the cover sheet. It's in the shaded area.
Oh, there's a, okay, gotcha. I was looking at the 361 going, right? 361 doesn't add 227, okay.
And unfortunately, the shaded area was shaded by the state, and they shaded it very dark, okay. And we're not allowed to touch their form.
Shady.
Shady. Okay. So, but we're comfortable that
the
numbers are...
The administrative director and I will work on the detail of that. I think the total number will still be shown somewhere on the document, and the payment of 50% of it is going to be shown in the six-month total.
Okay.
But basically, the formula only provides for basically half of the difference between the base year and the current year. So that number will decrease.
And effectively, this money has already been taken away from us, so it's not changing our general fund or any other balances that we have available to us.
It's held at the county in what's called a redevelopment property tax trust fund.
It's money that otherwise we would have gotten and distributed anyway, but
right.
To taxes.
And that's why we have to pay for trustees, because they're holding it in a trust fund?
No, yeah. that's the
that's
city.
The
that's the bonds
okay.
For the trust fund.
All right.
For the trustee fees.
I will complicate matters there. Okay. And I'm going to open it to the public if there are no more questions. Okay. And I don't see too many folks out there, so I'm assuming no one's coming forward. We'll bring it back to the council. And
I have one question, yeah. Mayor. Mm-hmm. Who currently sits on the oversight board?
You would have to ask that question right now. The mayor sits on the oversight board. There is Cassandra, a member of the city staff, sits on the oversight board. Adam Hill sits on the oversight board representing the county. There is
Marion Jarvis.
She's with County Schools, is she?
I think so.
And yeah. Then there's a representative from Cuesta College. Chris
John
Green.
LaFerrier. Isn't
yeah.
he on too? Or is that a different one? Yeah, okay.
All right, good.
And your chair, and we shouldn't forget your chair, is John LaFerrier.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Just curious.
If there are no other questions or comments, we can go
okay.
with a motion.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the resolution and authorize the city manager to present the ROPS to the Oversight Board for its consideration and approval.
I'll second.
So moved by Councilmember Bright, seconded by Councilmember Marshall. Could we have roll call, please?
Just a quick comment,
yeah.
And maybe it's just a clarification. Do we need to say we're sitting as the accessor agency, or is that just noted? Denoted?
That's going to be noted.
The amounts that Administrative Services Director proposed.
That's my understanding also.
Thank you.
So now we can do roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes, unanimous. Unanimous.
Thank you.
Unanimous. Not anonymous. Unanimous. All righty. So we're back to pulled consent agenda items, and I wanted to pull item number 3, which is the records destruction authorization. And so, Chief, I have a couple of questions for you. And I think I may have asked these questions before, but I guess it's still troubling me, or I forgot. But it was item number C. And it was the one was, let's see if I can find it here. One was, we're going to be destroying records of, per our destruction agreement or process, The dealer's records of gun sales that have been retained for 3 years, and now they're dated back to December 31st, 2011, and firearm voluntary registration. And the red flag that goes off for me there is, do we have a record or a database anywhere of who's getting guns and who's voluntarily registering them?
No.
Does anybody?
Yes. The state does. So, we have a firearms data bank that the state keeps that anybody has registered guns, we can find out.
So we send it off to the state and they keep it?
Kind of. So first off, we don't really do any firearm registrations anymore. Mm-hmm. We're not really authorized to do that. But in case one happens to come in, we still keep that on there, even though we don't even have those records. We do get copies of records from our local, the outdoorsman, that's the only one we have in town that sells firearms. And we keep those for a certain period of time, but they're still copies that we receive. But all of the documentation, registrations, and everything that's kept goes to the state. And we have access through the computer system to get those records if we need, but we don't keep them.
So it doesn't cause a problem because you can access it from somewhere else. So if we destroy them, you've still got what you need if you need it.
That's correct.
Okay.
And generally, most of the records in here are, if we need them, we don't destroy them. So right. It's mentioned further on. For example, if it's a crime that we need to keep for longer, for whatever reason, it's not been adjudicated, which means it's not complete yet, then we won't destroy it. And likewise, if the city has a claim or...
I would move that we adopt resolution authorizing the destruction of the police department records as set forth in Exhibit A.
I'll second that.
So we have a motion from Councilmember Nichols and a second from Mayor Pro Tem Lee. And this one is a roll call vote.
Councilmember
Nichols? Yes.
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 Yes. Unanimous again. And we're moving now to council committee reports. And Councilmember Bright's first.
All righty then.
And you covered for me on the EDC. Thank you.
Yes. Oh, certainly. Okay. We'll start with APCD. Was not real... wasn't a real exciting meeting. There was election of the board chair and vice chair, and those seats remained the same as 2013. That was a unanimous vote. Same thing with the air base and control representative and alternate. Then there was quite a discussion regarding the legislative platform. Some of us weren't real comfortable with just approving that platform as it was. And so it was determined that any responses to legislative initiatives would go before the executive board or the full board, depending on the timing. Then, let's see. The extension of the APCO... the Air Pollution Control Officer. I won't try not to use those acronyms. It was approved to approve the Executive Committee's recommendation to extend the Air Pollution Control Officer's contract through February 2016. That was 9 yes, 2 no, and 1 absent. And... that was really about it, I think. Oh, well, the APCO report, or Air Pollution Control Officer's report. Let's do to get some of those things happening. So that was, we're pleased to hear that. So that was that, and I had no audit, no housing trust fund. Zone 3. I didn't bring the budget with me from my last meeting, so I did just want to briefly give you an idea of what the budget is for 14-15.
And before you,
We'll discuss that. City Attorney, do I need to recuse myself from this from this listening process?
No. This is a report. It's not before you for discussion or action or anything that would affect anything that we do or the council does.
Okay.
It's simply a report of what already took place.
Okay.
Thank you.
Nice try.
Yeah.
So the proposed billings to the agencies are approximately $1,000 more than the prior year billings. However, they are approximately $64,000 less than the five-year cost projections that have been provided to us previously. The final review, though, by the Zone for 3 Advisory Committee is scheduled for our next meeting, which is March 20th. So I'll have the final numbers then. But so things are going pretty good. They're really keeping track, and I'm real pleased about that as well. Now, for the EVC, let's see, I have notes everywhere. Regarding the tourism report, it was really very interesting. They're talking about having a countywide BID. I'm not sure that that's what they were calling it. Is it a countywide BID?
Business Improvement District, but I think that is what they're calling it, yeah.
They're talking about...
T-BID.
T-BID, okay.
Tourism Business Improvement District.
Okay. I had the materials, but I don't know where they are. I don't have all my notes here. So the bottom line is they're saying that the state of California does $100 million tourism spend. They are looking to promoting their counties, and Monterey is way out there. And they only have a 60% occupancy rate. Our occupancy rate is actually better than that. They assess a $2 assessment per room.
I had a question. Maybe between the three of us we can figure out an answer, because I know Jeff's heard this presentation, and I heard it before that, there was some resistance as far as I could sense, because some cities are already up to 12%. We're at 10%. And so they were talking about adding 1% to 2% to that percentage. But now if they change that to being an amount per room as opposed to a percentage?
Well, I think the percentage was 1% to 1.25%, which they determined would be an average of $1.53 per room stay to the client or to the tourist.
Yeah, that was my understanding. So it was going to be a percentage, but I think that a dollar and change is what it was going to average out to. And I think where some of the reluctance was coming in was that a number of the other cities are like Arroyo Grande or Pismo already have bids, and this would actually effectively be a bid on top of
right.
the bid. So that's where some of the reluctance. Mm-hmm. I think what remains to be seen by Visit San Luis Obispo County is the benefits that are going to come from that, and how they're going to be able to market the county and the individual cities to benefit that. So I think, as I mentioned last time, we're effectively almost going to be a coattail on this, because we don't have a bid. So we would be able to kind of piggyback on what the countywide bid is going to do. But it's going to be dependent upon a number of other jurisdictions as to whether it moves forward and how expeditiously it moves forward.
But it goes on top of the 10%
yes.
Transient occupancy tax.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't really hear a whole lot of opposition, though, because I don't think that was the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So there was really the only question that I really heard regarding, you know, that was about their staffing. And if how their staffing would change. And she was saying that they would stay the same.
Why was there a concern about staffing?
I guess where the money was going to go.
Ah, okay. Right.
So that was it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I apologize, or I was hoping that Ricky would stay around because the Five Cities Fire Authority did get an award from the chamber, and then Steve Lieberman was also honored as the Grover Beach Citizen of the Year. And I'll extend an olive branch to the chief for inadvertently making Mr. Lieberman a former chief of police of Grover Beach when I read the resolution incorrectly, and he was actually assisting with dispatch, police and fire dispatch. So I apologize there, Chief, so and throw myself at your mercy. But very well attended, and everybody, I believe, had a good time. And Steve was very appreciative, as was Sandy Nichols on behalf of Arroyo Grande.
Yeah, we really got two for the price of one because Sandy's business is in Grover Beach also. So we scored there. And Councilmember Nichols, do you have anything to report?
I have no reports.
Okay. And sorry, Glenn.
That's okay. I'm used to it.
I passed you over.
It's okay.
Got anything?
Well, I'm glad my alternate went to the Chamber of Commerce meeting, mm-hmm. and he gave us a report on that. Homeless oversight, there was no meeting. The next one is on March 5th. And the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District next meeting is this Wednesday on February 5th.
Good. I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys are coming up with. Do you know when you're going to be getting that financial report that's telling them whether they're going to do a great big project or a smaller affordable project?
They just
in terms of upgrading the sewer system.
At the end of last year, they hired a consultant to mm-hmm. take a look at the, and I think it was Kennedy Jenks. Is that? Is Kennedy?
I can't remember. It was, but anyway, yeah.
Yeah. I've got it here. I can dig it out while you're giving your report.
Okay, good.
But no, there hasn't been any discussions when.
No discussion.
They just got the contractor in the holidays, so I suspect mm-hmm. they'll be starting into it the first part of this year.
Okay. Yeah, maybe then we're talking at cross purposes because there was maybe someone in there before that who was Kennedy Jenks they used to use, I know.
Hmm.
Okay. All righty. And I had EVC, Councilmember Bright covered for me. San Luis Obispo Council of Governments and the Regional Transit Authority are meeting Wednesday, so I'll have something next week. Did some of you go to the Channel Counties, the League of Cities Channel Counties dinner? Did you want to talk about that? Tell us how that went. Go ahead, Jeff.
I was going to leave that under Council Communications, but we can do it now.
Well, we're actually there now because I don't have anything to report.
Oh, perfect. Okay, cool. Then Friday night, he's my right-hand shoulder.
I like
him. So I gave a report on a new strategy by the League chapter for advocacy and expressing the views of the League. Being a little bit more proactive and looking at how members of the legislature are voting and kind of tailoring potential communications with them as they move forward. And then Representative Asajian.
Assemblyman takes a village.
It is. And this
tonight,
is
tonight,
right
tonight,
over
it
here.
Tonight it takes a village.
Right over here. He gave a good report as to how to move forward with the legislative session, and that we have a budget surplus, and so we're going to try and do some reserve backfilling and some educational support. As moving forward in this session, but there is a number of items coming forward so they'll figure out how to use some of that money. Good.
Thank you. Any other council communications?
There was kind of Jenks.
I would tag on to what Mr. Lee has said. What the League is trying to do, insofar as our legislators is concerned, is to make them accountable for their actions. In the legislature. In the past, I don't think they've done that to the extent that they intend to do now, and that's what Mayor Farrar's emphasis was on, and that's what the League is putting their emphasis on, which I think is a good project. If I may, in addition to that, the Five Cities Fire Authority, we have put out these brochures, which I have one for each of you. Thought you might be interested in seeing that. And while you're taking a look at that, I also wanted to bring to your attention the educational program that the Five Cities Fire Authority has undertaken insofar as the special assessment district is concerned. The fire chief put together a PowerPoint presentation, and he started off on January 22nd with a presentation to the Royal Grandy Police Department Advisory Council. That was the first PowerPoint presentation that was given, and this was put together at the size of the crowd they had, which was approximately 60 members of the Knights at that meeting. On Tuesday, January 28th, we made a presentation before the Five Cities Men's Club at their regular luncheon. Mr. Ekbom, which I'm sure you're all familiar with, was present and has had a number of questions regarding this whole process. He was at that meeting, and he had a couple of good questions, but other than that, it went very well. My observation was that it was very well accepted by the businessmen. There is no great concern as to this assessment and how it's going to affect the district. That evening, the chief also made a presentation before the Optimist Club. I was not able to attend that. I understand it went very well. On Wednesday the 29th, the presentation was made before the organization called POVE, which is the Pismo Oceano Vegetable Exchange. A lot of the farmers are members of that. And I understand that they accepted this, had very good questions relating to it, but it went very well. On Thursday, January 30 at noon, a presentation was made before the Arroyo Grande Rotary Club, which is composed of businessmen basically from Arroyo Grande. I attended that session also. I think it went very well. The chief has done a very good job with his PowerPoint presentation. You may have seen in the paper today that there are four forums scheduled, and the first one is tonight, being held at the fire station in Arroyo Grande. The chief, of course, is conducting that. There will be three more tomorrow evening. The presentation will be made at the Oceano Community Service District. On Wednesday, it will be at the Grover Beach Community Center. It is the South County Democratic Club that requested that presentation. And then Thursday, they will be at the Temple of the People, which is the community center in Halcyon. And that will be at 6 o'clock in the evening. So that presentation will be made also. Then on Tuesday the 4th, tomorrow, I will go with the chief and the staff. We're making a presentation to the board of directors at Sunrise Terrace. One of the reasons we picked Sunrise Terrace is they're one of the presentation before the Grover Beach Arroyo Grande Chamber of Commerce at their monthly luncheon. And on Friday, February 21st, presentation will be given to the Board of Realtors. And that was Chief searched them out. And it was interesting because the president of the Board of Realtors is, I believe, Lenny Jones. He also is president of the Arroyo Grande Rotary Club. So he's been through the process already, and he was quite enthusiastic about it. I had a nice conversation with Lenny. And finally, on Wednesday the 26th, we will be making a presentation before the Grover Beach Rotary Club. That's pretty much the schedule that we have laid out. I don't know if there are any other presentations being made. As you may or may not know, the ballots for this special assessment will be mailed out on February the 14th, which is only about 10 days away.
It's not Valentine's Day.
And
Valentine's Day. You don't get a box of chocolates this time.
And that pretty much brings you up to date on that. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. If not, you have a question?
Just a quick question. How long is the voting open for? 45 days, was it?
I believe it's 45 days. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, 45 days.
45 days. I don't know how long.
And then,
when is the next meeting? Basically,
yeah. I think it's 45 days, and then following that, there will be two public hearings that we will have to hold with reference to the voting, at which time the announcement will be made as to how the votes were tallied. And I believe it's scheduled the votes will be tallied here, if I'm not mistaken, by the League of Women Voters.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for clarification for folks out there, is this one going to all voters, or is it only going to property owners?
Property owners only.
Property owners.
Special
so
assessment.
You may be a voter and you may not get one, or you may not be a voter and you may get one.
Yeah, and the votes are weighted, and I cannot explain the formula that they use. I can tell you that the residential average residential increment is $66. So basically, the average homeowner, property owner, will be assessed a tax of $66.
A year?
Yes, okay. Per year.
Formula weights the amount based upon the special benefit that would be received if the assessment passes. So different parcels receive a different special benefit, and based upon that,
at the potential of a $3 billion bond issue just to take care of their sidewalks.
Holy China.
And this is because they have let that go for so many years. They've gotten into this. Bob already has a copy of that, Glenn.
I have one, too.
Oh, so you're okay. Telling us it could be worse in Grover Beach.
Well, yes. My thought was we're talking about getting our streets repaired, and this article kind of highlights the fact that they kept letting it go longer and longer, and it does nothing more than get worse. I just thought it was a very interesting article and thought each of you would enjoy reading that. That's all I have.
Thank you. Any other council communications? I wanted to piggyback Council Member Nichols on one of yours, and I'm trying to remember which one it was now. It was one of your first ones. Oh, about the League of Cities. I've also been extremely impressed with what the first Vice President, Mayor Ferrara, is doing. He has tallied all the votes of all of our relevant Congress members and whether or not they're city-friendly. And we're going to hold their feet to the fire. He's going to hold their feet to the fire. So I'm impressed because he's taking some real action there. And I appreciate that. And I was up a couple of weeks ago. I was up at the League of Cities policy committee meetings, and I'm on two, one for the League of, one for the Women's Caucus, and then one for our region. And it's interesting because in the Friday letter that the city manager sends to us, they gave us a report on what they'd done at the two policy committees I sat on, and that wasn't at all what I was interested in. So you may have read what went on there, and maybe because it was my first meeting, but one of them I was on for the for our region is the Administrative Policy Committee, and that one's interesting. There are a lot of city clerks on that one. And they deal a lot with the Public Records Act, with the Brown Act. And so that was really, it was interesting to sit with a table full of city clerks. It was a different experience for me. We normally sit with one, and she's outnumbered, but it was the other way around. So that was helpful to me to have an opportunity to meet also some other folks from other communities and who are working with the League. And I was very encouraged because we had presentations from three different, other one that I sit on, which was very interesting to me, given some comments I've had from the community over the last couple of years. I don't know if you all have had the same comments, but they talked about massage parlors and whether or not the state would legislate what's going on with massage parlors. And apparently a lot of cities are having a lot of problems. And I know there's a time here where we had a number of complaints. And I never saw anything going on, but I'm told that there was a lot going on. So I don't know if that's true or not. But it was very interesting to me to hear how much of a problem it is. And so there was a lot of talk about that. And then the discussion was, should they be self-regulating or not? Should it be a nonprofit? Do they regulate themselves through a nonprofit, or does the state regulate? And ultimately, I think the League came down on the side of let's have the state do it, because they don't seem to be doing so well by themselves. And it's kind of a shame, because there are a lot of very legitimate masseuses out there, too, and they get tarred and feathered with the same brush as the non-legitimate ones, which is unfortunate. And the other thing that they talked about was group homes. And when the state
when the state legislates how many group homes can be in a neighborhood, they're legislated differently, and so sometimes you have an overlap. You'll have a rehab house at one place, and then you'll have a nursing home next door, but the next rehab has to be 100 yards away, but they can alternate, so actually every house on a block in a residential neighborhood can end up being a group home of one description or another. So there's a lot of work going on that, and they gave us, the city of Riverside's done a lot of work on it, and they gave us some really good information on what all the state rules are. And I found that interesting, too, because I have had members of the public with concerns about that, and I've had members of the public coming and saying we want to open group houses of different descriptions. So it was very informative for me to be there, and I think helpful in the long term in terms of how we look at things and think about things and what's coming up, and we're not the only ones with those issues. And I believe, the other thing is, I know we all get letters, and sometimes we all get them and sometimes we don't. I have a couple that I think only came to me, and one of them, there's an AIDS life cycle coming up, and I think the chief should have gotten one, and that's going to be, I believe, on June 4th. There's going to be a bunch of cyclists coming through town, and then from next 10, they had some really interesting information on budgets and how to make your budgets more transparent, and I guess there's a budget challenge out there for cities to try to be more transparent, and I know we also had our water workshop. Nobody else had done that. We got right on top of that one. Well, they did it up in the North County, but and then we were the leaders in the county in our washing machine rebates and our cash for grass, and a lot of cities have followed on those really good programs. And so I had said to the city manager, you know, rather than me embarrassing all of us by getting snippy on Facebook about how Grover Beach has done all these things, why don't they say something? I thought perhaps we ought to send out another press release. If you all are okay with that, it's probably preferable to me getting cheeky on Facebook. So if you all are in favor of that, I think the city manager would be willing to send out a press release about the proactive things that we're doing in Grover Beach, because we've been way out ahead on that. And I think, from what I could tell, that our per capita use is quite low here compared to the rest of the county, too. So if you're good with that, then like to speak.
I'm not objecting to that. It's fine. It'd be nice to put something like that on our website.
Oh, yes. Yes, I meant to say that, because this that we received in our Friday letter is on our website now.
Good.
And I agree. And the other thing that City Manager mentioned, Glenn, is something that you had raised when we declared our stage two, which we had to declare because we were kind of swithering. Shouldn't it be three when we did it back in August, you were asking, and we couldn't really make the findings based on the rules we'd set down. And we did, I remember you saying, well, we're going to come back to this soon, aren't we? And I believe, according to the city manager, we will be coming back soon.
We will be coming back soon. Normally, we wait until the water year is over with, but with the existing situation, we'll probably move that up a couple of months because we're all concerned. So,
yeah.
And when we do come back and review phase three, it will be mandatory. So that's the next step that we'll be asking the council to take.
I wanted to throw one other thing out there, and it's something I've struggled with this for the 9 years that I've been involved in the city, and that is that as I go through the list of our expenditures every 2 weeks that we get, I'm always looking, what are the biggest expenditures? What's jumping out? And always it's electricity and it's water, and if we could get our electricity and our water down by half, it would make a radical difference to the city's situation. And there are solutions out there, and again, we don't have the manpower, maybe the expertise, but I want to put it out there that it could make a difference if we could find some way to address some of those things. So,
date of March 20th, but unfortunately, that's the same date that Zone 3 is meeting, and so we may have to modify that slightly, but we will be getting to that joint meeting very, very soon.
Great. And City Attorney, did you have any comments this evening?
Well, that's wonderful. It is 8:04, and we are. Oh, one more comment. I want to close.
I know. And actually, I just wanted to piggyback on what the city manager said, just to give a quick heads up that the Coastal Commission is actually going to be in town the 12th, the 13th, and 14th of February. So they're going to be in town before we meet. And I don't know if there's an opportunity for us to join them at a public session like we did last year. Just to talk about our lodge project, or just to be in front of them,
or to tell them that you'd like the mayor to be on the Coastal Commission.
There is that as well.
Thank you for bringing that up. All right. Well, with that, it's now 8:05, and we're adjourned.